Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place tonight. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. How many is thankful for that name tonight? Hallelujah. There's power in that name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 One more time. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It's always in order to give the Lord praise. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord tonight. Amen. First and foremost, I just want to say thank you for everyone who made it a priority to be here tonight. We thank you. Give yourselves a hand tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just want to give shout out to Pastor Grogan. Amen. For allowing us to put this together. Let's give Pastor Grogan a hand tonight. Amen. I appreciate my pastor, his vision, his burden. And he's an awesome man of God, and I appreciate him in my life. Amen. And I'm very excited tonight to have the Waddles with us. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand tonight. Me and Mark have been friends here for a little while, and I've got to know Mark, and he's just a nice guy. Amen. If you can't get along with Mark, you can't get along with anybody. Amen. You guys are in for a treat tonight. It's going to be a good time with the Lord. We've prayed and we've thought about this service. We had a whole year to think about this. And every time we went to prayer, we just kept going right back to Brother Mark Waddle. Amen. So I believe that God is going to do something in this place tonight. Amen. Our theme this year, this is our first year in doing this. And so when we're thinking about what to come up with, and we just kind of felt like the word awaken came to us. And in Romans 13, chapter 13, 11 through 12, it says, it's on the board there. It says, and knowing that the time, that now is a time of high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the Bible says, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put the armor of light. Amen. I believe tonight that I'm talking to a generation of whom the ends of the earth have come. Amen. I believe I'm talking to a generation tonight, amen, that is hungry and desperate for a move of God. I believe I'm talking to, oh, come on, somebody. I believe I'm talking to some people tonight, amen, that want to go higher. Amen. That want to awaken. Amen. That want to affect their world. That want to see revival. That want change in their life. Amen. And if you're here tonight and that's how you feel, amen, I challenge you tonight, when Brother Mark is preaching or the presence of God begins to move, don't wait for the music. Amen. Don't wait for your neighbor tonight. Amen. But step out tonight and let something begin to awaken in your spirit. Let something begin to awaken in your soul tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And tonight, I ain't going to take too much more of your time. I just want to welcome my friend, Mark, if you'll come. Amen. Let's give him a hand one more time. Amen. Well, I appreciate him. I appreciate what he's going to do tonight. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many is going to get behind him tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. How many is going to get behind him tonight? Hallelujah. Take your liberty, brother. Thank you,
brother. Praise the Lord, everybody. You all look good tonight. And I think the nicest person award in the Southern California District and Western District combined is Pastor Grogan. That is for sure. Pastor and Sister Grogan are the sweetest people you'll ever meet. If I lived anywhere around here, unless you go to another UPC church, I would come to this church. If you go to another UPC church, do not leave your church. Do not start problems tomorrow morning. I love you. I would love to preach to you, but just have your pastor call me. I'll come to your church too, okay? I try not to get in trouble. I don't want to get called into the Western District Board. I haven't been there in many years. So I don't plan to come soon, okay, for that purpose at least. Man, it's so good. I'm so glad my wife got to come. We hit a little Labor Day traffic, but when you don't have your two-year-old and your four-year-old in the car, life is great. We sat in traffic. We drank our Starbucks. We stopped in McFarland, and I know I'm getting old because I want to take a picture because of that movie. And I wanted to, my wife said, "You're old. Do not take a picture with the sign." So instead, we got Mangando or Magando. I don't even know what she ordered. She ordered something at some stand, and we had a, yes. And I don't know what she ordered me, but it was really good. And it was the freshest fruit. I mean, I thought we had good fresh fruit in Southern California. The fruit that we had in McFarland today was just amazing. So y'all live in a great area. And then I come in, and it's been a few years since I've been in your beautiful building. And I'm telling you, I'm so jealous. God's going to have to forgive me and help me and to get over this big building. And we're crammed in a little box doing 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Pastor says we're probably going to have to go to a 1 o'clock because we can't afford. For us in Southern California to build the building we need about $3.5 million. $3.5 to $4 million. So we just keep, as God blesses, church grows, we just keep having more services. And it's going great, but I would sure love to experience a building like this. Can y'all help us pray for that in Southern California? If he can do it for the Trinitarians, I believe he can do it for the Oneness, Pentecostal, Apostolics. So it's great to be here, and the weather is great. I thought it was going to be hot. I thought it was going to be as hot as Temecula, but you guys are not as hot as we are, which is different. So it's been great, and we had a great drive, and we're going to have a great weekend. And y'all just get dressed up every service. Y'all look so good. See, in Southern California, they just won't come dressed like you guys. They want to come in their jeans and all that stuff. So this is really nice to... I feel like I'm at like a little Western District youth convention here. Feels good. And so it's just our honor and our privilege to be here. And I know I stand between you... And I believe there's a good Mexican restaurant still in Tulare here, I think. A couple. Okay. So I know I stand between you and your chips and your salsa. And hopefully meeting your future spouse. It was in Bakersfield the first time I went on a date with my beautiful wife. At a youth convention. So she was on the praise team. I was leading the worship with Brother Jason West. And she just fell in love with me because I sing so good. So yes, go to youth convention. Go to retreats. I don't know what you guys have up here, but go to them. Find somebody in church. Find somebody who loves God. Don't find somebody at Chili's. Don't find somebody at your school. I promise you, go to a youth convention, go to NAYC, go wherever you can go. If there's any parents in the building, it's worth every dollar. It's worth every dollar to see your son or your daughter marry somebody in the truth and raise your grandchildren in the truth. It's worth every fundraiser, every cupcake you have to sell. It's worth it. I'm telling you, we do... I don't know about you, Brother Grogan, but we do more counseling for people that married outside of the church. And then their spouse doesn't understand why they want to go to church every Sunday and they want to go to midweek. And why do we have to go to this church? Why can't we? Because they don't understand what you understand. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important. But this week, as I was preparing and we're getting ready for this wonderful weekend, and my son, now that I have a two-year-old boy, and it's totally different than a girl, even when they're little. The girls are drama. From the day they're born, I don't know, maybe you were never drama, but, you know, Zadie's drama. And then you got Nixon, everything is Cars 3. Everything is Cars 3. It doesn't matter what it is, it's Cars 3. And he loves, when we were back home in Minnesota, my parents had just moved into a new house. And so the whole neighborhood, they're building. My parents bought one of the first houses. So like every house is a foundation. There's trucks everywhere. It was the best vacation for my son. He loves the trucks. He loves the sounds. And we don't get a lot of trucks in our neighborhood because our house is 30-some years old. So, but there's a sound that happens in our neighborhood every Friday. Every Friday morning, he just, if he gets just the slight rumbling of the trash truck. He wants to see it. Truck, Cars 3, Dad, Cars 3. Pulling on, come on, come, come. He wants to see the garbage truck. Something you and I take for granted. And then when I hear the garbage truck on Friday and I have forgot to take the trash cans out, it's like a mad dash to put some clothes on because they come early down there. I'm like, I'm 7 a.m. and I'm like, oh, I forgot it. I'm running downstairs, getting clothes, getting dressed. And then he wants to go see it. My hair is all like this. Like, I mean, I promise you it's gelled right now, but it, like, my hair stands like straight up like this in the morning. My wife never knew what she's getting into. That we didn't have FaceTime before we got married, so we had none of that. She didn't see what my hair looked like in the morning. But the garbage truck is so important. We have to learn the secret from the garbage truck and why cities and why as a nation, it doesn't matter if you live in D.C. or you live in L.A., everybody has a garbage truck. And everybody has a garbage day. Has it ever been your chore to take the trash out? I mean, is anybody still your chore? I mean, it's my chore. Now, I cannot wait till my son is old enough to take the trash out. That will be the first thing I give him 50 cents, whatever. It's probably going to be $5 by the time he. But you have to form, I've learned, you have to form a strong bond with the garbage truck. My in-laws just moved this week into their, they're getting old. They don't want to go up and downstairs, all that things, old people, you know. They got the extra wide doors for when they need wheelchairs. I'm joking about that, but they're downsizing, and they lived in this house for 20 years. And I've noticed, well, number one, it took us, he thought we'd be done by 1 o'clock Tuesday, and we'd start at 8 a.m., we'd be done by 1. You ever helped anybody move? You know it always takes longer than they think? Come 5 o'clock, and I'm still moving Tuesday night. And they were moving Wednesday, and they were moving Thursday, and they've been moving Friday. Because trash accumulates. Trash builds up. And then all of a sudden, we're getting trash in our house from their house that they don't want anymore. Like my brother-in-law came over, I forget, it might have been Thursday night, in his pickup truck. He goes, I said, what are you doing here? He goes, oh, I brought these lamps over to your house. Mom gave them to Ashley. I said, don't even bring them to the house. Those things are ugly. I said, those things are before she was even born. Put them in the garage. We're going to have a garage sale. I don't want their junk in my house. Because junk and trash accumulates. I'll tell Ashley, and she'll tell me now. Our trash can is under the sink. And I'll say, this is not a magic trash can. It doesn't magically take itself out to the trash can. You can't just keep putting stuff in it every day, all day long. You can't put a poopy diaper in the bottom of that trash can and by 4 o'clock don't think the whole house is not going to stink. Anybody have little brothers and sisters? Or anybody has, you come home and you're like, where's the diaper? Where is it? Or either they poop themselves right then and there or you got to go find a diaper somewhere in the house. There was one time I was coming home from preaching a youth camp, and it was coming home in July or August. In Temecula, man, it gets, I think, I don't know, probably similar to up here. We're kind of like in a winery area where all the vineyards are at, probably similar to this. So in July, we can have quite a few days over 100. And so I went to a camp. The trash man came on Friday. I flew home on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I proceed to take the trash out to the trash can. And like I open my trash can is right outside this little side garage door. You know the side of your house you want nobody to see? Has all the stuff that, you know, all the toys and all the stuff and all the broken toys that haven't worked for years. They're just on the side of the house, right? Everybody has that side of their house. And I open the door, and as soon as I open that door, I mean, it smelled like I walked into a dump. It had been like a heat. It had been like just one of those times where it's like 105, 105, 105. And we have like a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and that trash can is full of diapers. And I don't blame my sweet wife because, you know, that just happens. But when you have all those diapers and that 100-degree heat mixed with chicken and spaghetti and McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, and it's just imagine the beautiful aroma I walked into. And it's already hot, and I'm just going to be, right? And I'm thinking, how in the world did you forget the trash man? Now, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get all our trash in here this week? I got 4 more days. The trash can's already full. We've already jumped on it. Luckily, I work for the church. So there's times, like when our trash can, I said, babe, just take it to the dumpster at the church. Let's just take it to the dumpster at church. Don't do that here. We have a lot of dumpsters. We rent a building in a strip mall. So we have a bunch of trash cans. So I'll just put one in this can and one in this can. We rotate them through the dumpsters on the property. But not everybody has that ability and that privilege. It's never good to let your trash lay around. It's never good to let that food sit out there and get old. It's never good to let it build up and for you to miss out on the trash man. The sight of a trash truck isn't glorious except to a 2-year-old boy. The sound of a trash truck, no one in here probably gets excited when they hear the trash truck. But I'm going to tell you a little story today. And I'm going to call this, if I had to title this message, I'd say the trash man comes on Friday. Because that's when he comes in my neighborhood. Before I tell you this story of this sweet young lady, I want to talk to you about the greatest need that each and every one of us have. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how much money you have, how much money you don't have. Matter where you came from or where you're going. We all have a great need. Don't matter how skinny you are, how fluffy you are, how big your hair is if you're from Texas. So to introduce this need, I want to go to Psalms 51 and 1 and 2. This is a Psalm of David. It says, very familiar passage of Scripture. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your tender mercies. God, I want you to talk to each and every one of our hearts. Your word is more relevant every day in our life. It's as powerful today as the day it was written. God, your word is forever settled in heaven. I pray that you would speak to each and every person in this room, no matter where they're from, no matter where they're going, no matter how old, how young, no matter what's going on in their life, God, you want to touch their greatest need tonight, here, in the next 30 minutes. If you receive it, will you lift your hands right now and just cry out to the name of the Lord? Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, God. Have mercy upon me. You may be seated. I do not want to talk long. I don't want to, because the word of God is powerful. But if I could talk to the millennial generation, and I believe in the millennial generation. I mean, every millennial is a photographer. Every millennial is a photographer, a videographer. It's in your, you can't help it. You guys are good at that stuff. I have no idea. I never thought, I don't think I'm that old, but your generation has so much going for it. But one thing I feel like your generation might not quite understand or might not quite grasp is that when God convicts you, it's not in order to hurt you. It's in order to draw you to his mercy, to his loving kindness, to blot out our transgressions. Because millennials, it wasn't the way I was raised, but just something in your generation, and I'm not, please understand, I'm not bashing your generation, but there is nothing wrong with going to an altar and pouring out your heart to God and asking him to have mercy upon you. Because we've all at one point or one time in our life felt like an outsider. No one wants to raise their hand, but at some point you ate lunch alone somewhere. I mean, it used to be a hang-up for me because I'm a sanguine. I want to have a party everywhere you go, all the time. Ask my wife. When we first got married, she'd be like, people cannot come over to our house every night. I said, why not? This is fun. We're married, it's a sleepover all the time, and we get to have our friends over. She's not a sanguine. She can put it on for church like she loves and she likes to be around people. But like when we go home, she doesn't even want to talk to me. All her energy is gone. See, when I come home from this, like church tonight, like I'll get in the room and I'm like this. My energy, I'm like, man, this has been great. Like I can't wait for Sunday morning. I get to meet more people. So for me, eating lunch alone is torture. I mean, I'll go through the drive-thru and go sit in my office in church and eat because I don't want to eat alone. We're in public where people can see me. I don't want to be the kid that's eating alone at the table. I mean, I have flashback horrors to elementary school. And then you can't go sit with the kid because then you'll be the only kid sitting with the kid that nobody wants to sit with. I mean, really, I mean, you break it down, right? But the outsiders. But if you look back in the Bible, Israel had outsiders and stragglers, people that were ostracized. Go to Samaria, the lepers were outside the camp. Go through what Jeremiah called the potsherd gate, and you'll find broken vessels. Where are they? Outside the gate, outside the walls. Outside the walls are broken lives, broken hearts. Who lives outside the walls? Throughout all of mankind and all of time and history, it was the odd people, the peculiar people, the weird people. Right? I know Tulare's pretty big, but you, at least in Temecula, there's like the weird person is always at the same corner by McDonald's in Temecula. There's always there's one here, and then there's always another weird guy by Jack in the Box. They're always there every day. Maybe you guys don't have that here. Maybe all the weird people live in Southern California. That's probably true. It's not survival of the fittest in our day and age. It's survival of the herd. We want to be accepted. Even though you would deny it at college or you deny it at your job, nobody wants to be the person sitting by themselves for lunch. Nobody does. For us today, the meaning is even more profound about being outside the gate. For there are things we can do. There's failures we can make. There's mistakes that hurt so bad and damage so deep that we find ourselves pushing people and church away. See, you can be hurt so deep. I feel like, here's the deal. I really feel like I need to be real with you. Is that okay? Yeah. Because your generation doesn't need a show. Right. Your generation wants reality. Right. You can be hurt so deep and so bad by people in the church that you judge God by their mistakes. And I was just talking this week to a millennial, and this just, that church is just full of hypocrites and da 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 and da. And my wife and I were talking about this young man that we love deeply. I said, he's hurt so deep that he can't see that he's judging everybody and everything through a broken heart. You push yourself to the outside and you feel like, they've hurt me so bad, have you ever said this? I'm never going to let them hurt me again. You know what you just did? You put yourself on the outside. And then somebody else hurts you, another step back. Somebody else hurts you, another step back. Before you know it, you're so far outside the gate. But I'm going to talk about God specializes in touching those people that are outside the gate. He came to heal hurts tonight. When she was singing that last song, we're going to come up here tonight. We're going to call on the name of Jesus in a few minutes. And in the baggage you've carried, here's the deal. You got to get a self-awareness enough of what you carried in here tonight that you're not going to carry out of here tonight. Because it's the temptation in this generation is this. Well, he broke up with me. I'm going to find a new church. I can't go to church with him. I can't go to church in the same building with him. Oh, you see him trying to talk to her? I know, he's trying to talk to her. You're hurt. And you know when you're hurt and you don't have any hope left, that's when you get angry. You get hurt, you feel like you have no hope, then you get anger, and then you get bitter. So why don't we just go back up here to where the hurt happens? And want God have mercy upon me. Amen. According to your loving kindness. Trash accumulates. Whether your house is huge. I can imagine our church is a lot. I'm going to say, is this 25,000 square feet? Roughly. Our church is 10,000 square feet. We cram. I'm telling you, every inch of that building is full of something. But every 6 months to almost twice a year, we have to clean out the building. I can't imagine when you guys have an all church cleaning here, how much stuff accumulates in this building, in this amazing building. Try to go home tonight and pretend like you're just going to move your room, like you're going to pack and go to college. You'd be shocked how much junk you got in your room because it accumulates. It's life. I mean, we were going through stuff. Our daughter's just turned 4 today, and we're going through stuff because I'm telling you, when people are getting rid of junk, they want to give it to you. But remember this, they're giving it to you because they haven't used it in years. So we were going through stuff at our house cleaning up because we're getting junk from my in-laws. And my wife had this stack of paperwork from when my daughter was born. It was in a file cabinet we had just never even looked at for 4 years. She goes, we should just shred all that. She didn't even go through like page by page. No, she just shred all that. Because stuff accumulates. There's a guy in Vegas. If you can show that picture. His name was Kenneth Epstein. You can Google him. It breaks your heart, but it's kind of funny all at the same time. He was the worst hoarder they've ever had in Vegas. He lived with his mom in a two-bedroom townhouse in Vegas. His mom passed away in 2010. And the neighbors, before his mom passed away, he was a hoarder, but it wasn't like a hoarder, bad hoarder. But after his mom passed away, they called the police, they called the city, they come out, and tell him he's got to clean it up, you have so many days. For the first couple times, he cleaned it up. But then he quit cleaning it up. Let me give you some of the stuff that was in this house. Don't get too grossed out at this, okay? They get into the house. They came upon the scene of the hoarding. Most hoarders will leave pathways, but he had stacked it so high they had to crawl on. That's the entrance right there. They had to crawl on top of the trash to get into his house. That's his front door. Okay? In only a few days, they had 22 truckloads of trash removed from his house. Listen to this. It gets better, folks. They removed 9 dead cats, 33 living cats, 6 refrigerators of decaying food, so badly decayed that the meat was liquefied. The man running the show says, we need to get him help. Emotional help. So when they went to Mr. Epstein and they said, because he was living outside the gate, they said, we're here to help you. He told the news reporter, you can look it up, you can read it, said, you're the first person that's ever offered to help me. Here's the deal. I'm here to help you. I drove 5-6 hours, left my kids at home. But I came to help you by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Word of God. Because you, I don't care if you've lived in church your whole life or you've been in church 2 days. You have stuff in your life that is holding you down. Because I know this, if it happens in our world, it can also happen in our spiritual world where we let stuff build up. Because the altar has gotten a place, became a place of embarrassment, but that's not why God created the altar. The altar was a place to get rid of your trash, to get rid of your hurts, to get rid of your pain. You see, a couple years ago, Ashley's dad took the whole family to Ruth Chris for Christmas. Not the kids. Kids weren't invited. And we were there and we were going to the parking garage and to get through to that wonderful restaurant that he was taking us to for Christmas, you had to pass the trash cans. You know what? Ruth Chris trash smelled the same as the McDonald's trash cans that I passed by. Because trash is trash. Whether it comes from Ruth Chris that has 5 stars or it comes from McDonald's that has no stars, trash is trash. And I ate me a McDouble on the way here because it was a dollar, okay? Trash is trash. Regardless of where it comes from, it smells. No matter one's reputation, no matter your stature, no matter your accomplishments, no matter what you're dealing with, you have trash in your life. And you have to have a process. You have to have a system to deal with the trash that builds up in your life. I know we're not running aisles tonight. I know we're not. But I want to help you tonight. And tomorrow night we may preach and people run. I don't know. I don't know that yet. But I just know what I felt here for this situation. Psalms 51, the story's old. But if the story was told today, it would make headlines. David and Bathsheba. David, the problem is David was a warrior. And David, where is the army in this Psalms 51? I know. Let me bring you up to date. The army is out at war. And where is David? He's at home. Life had got easy for David. Life had got good for David. I mean, he got up in the morning, he just decided what he wanted, and someone made it, and they brought it to him. Rest had brought David temptation. The details are important because they're found in God's word. A woman whose husband was away fighting for David. She was bathing on a rooftop. She caught the eye of David. Here's what I know. The eyes lead right to the soul. You don't have a rooftop to go on But you got a phone. You swipe right, swipe left. Your parents don't even know what that is. You're smarter than they are when it comes to technology. Right? You parent lock them out of your stuff. But what was here? David knew that the women would put the water in the bathtubs in the morning and let the sun heat the tubs up so the water would get warm. And then they would go bathe. So do you think David just accidentally strolled out on that roof? Or do you think he walked into it? I'm not here bashing anything. I have Instagram. I have Facebook. I don't understand Snapchat filters. When people my age that are men have Snapchat filters, I just look at them like, really? You know what? Let your son do that. You don't need the little ears. You don't need the little freckles or whatever it is, okay? You all know, you've seen people, you're like, wait, you're way too old for that now. They're trying hard, got their jeans with their holes in them, and they got gray hair. No, it's a... But what is your rooftop that you're walking into, that you're walking down, that, oh, I don't know, what is it? Who are you private messaging? Who are you letting slide in your DMs? Who do you need to get on your Instagram when you walk out these doors, and who do you need to block? So let's be real. Because it's all cool when it's the Word of God and it's 2,000 years ago. But when we talk about stuff that's in your pocket. See, we have to have a system to take out the trash. It's not optional. It's mandatory. Your city will come to your house and tag your house, and they will put citations on there, and eventually they will come and tape off your house and kick you out and get rid of all that trash. It's mandatory. But here, God is a gentleman. He's not going to do that. He's saying, I have an altar, and I create Sunday services, and I create Wednesday services, and I create these special events. And it's not bad. It's not a stigma to come up here and empty out. It's an honor and a privilege we have to come boldly into the house of the Lord, and boldly into the presence of God. And I come boldly before the throne of God and say, here I am, God. I need your mercy one more time. I need your grace one more time. God, here, my wife and I talked about this on the way here too. People have heard us so bad, but we have made up our mind. They have hurt me once, but they're not taking me to hell. They hurt me once, but they're not taking me to hell. They're not taking my wife to hell. They're not taking my family to hell. They're not taking my children to hell. No, here's what you got to decide. You may have hurt me once, but I'm going to pour it out at an altar because I have a destiny and I have a purpose and I have a calling. You got to remember who you are. You got to remember everything you went through. God doesn't waste tears. God doesn't waste pain. He is preparing you for your destiny. But we have got to get to the place where the altar is not a stigma, but the altar is a place that we boldly approach the throne of grace. Somebody say amen. Woo. Here's what we do. We get rid of our murmuring at the altar. We get rid of our gossiping at the altar. We get rid of hating people at the altar. We go to the altar and we say, I have haters. And they talk about me and they try to bring me down. But they do not know my destiny. They do not know my calling. They do not know my purpose. Only God and I know what He has for me. And I'm not going to let them hold me down. You don't need to have self-pity. Oh, I don't look like that. Quit comparing your mornings to other people's Instagram 17 pictures, 14 filters, and then they change it again and modify it. Quit comparing yourself to everybody on your social media. Quit worrying about where they live and how they travel and how they spend their money. It doesn't matter what they do. It matters that I find an altar. It matters that I get rid of the trash that is building up in my life. It don't matter when they go to convention and what they wear. It matters what I do. It matters how I live. Woo! Somebody worship him a little bit. Take a 30-second break in the house and begin to worship the Lord. We got to get rid of the toxic trash. We got to empty out the trash. We got to empty it out. Listen, listen. David's like us. First thing he did was cover it up, his mistake. He tried to get Bathsheba's husband to come home. He tried to get her to go in the house and spend the night so that child wouldn't be his. Second thing he did was treacherous. He told his nephew Joab, who was captain of David's fighting army, to put Bathsheba's husband, listen, said, put him in the hottest spot and pull everybody back. Listen, I've never been in the army or the military, but I know those guys are tight. They're brothers, they're family. The king put him in the hottest spot. And all of his family left him. How are you going to react when your family walks away from you for this truth and this message? I have family that have walked away from this message. This great message. You know what? They're probably going to be okay, Pastor. But I don't know about their kids. Their kids aren't going to know this message. These kids aren't going to feel what we felt. And how what we felt just once they begin to sing and the worship begin to happen and when the altar takes place. So God grew angry at David. It appears that it was all covered up until this old prophet rolls in. He looks at him and says, God spared you from Saul. God anointed you. God gave you everything you have here. He gave you this kingdom. But you took this woman from a man who had nothing. I imagine David began to weep and he said, I've sinned against the Lord. He began to repent. And the Lord said, I've also put away your sin, you shall not die. God loved David enough to confront him. God loves you enough to confront you, to not let you go to hell. That's what conviction is. But in our generation, we want to take that conviction and it makes us feel guilty and we want to run somewhere else where we don't feel conviction. You can run somewhere where you don't feel conviction, but that conviction will always chase you because God is chasing you. David recognized his fault. Here, David, this is when he prayed that prayer. Have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness. Wash me, cleanse me. He said, purge me with hyssop. I never knew what that hyssop meant. I never understood. But hyssop was a plant. It was part of the mint family. The leaves and the oils were harvested, and the stems were used as brushes. But do you remember that old story where they used the hyssop to put the blood on the doorposts? That hyssop, it's that anointing. It's that blood flowing on you. They used it to paint the blood on the doors, to cover them, to heal them, to protect them. The priest would sprinkle hyssop over an unclean person to make them clean. Jesus was crucified outside the camp. I'm going to get to the story here in 1 second. If you would stand with me and as the musicians would come. Listen to this. Outside where the sacrifices were thrown, outside the gate where potters discarded vessels, outside where the lepers were. That's where Calvary was. Perhaps there's merit to examine where Calvary was, because it was not in Washington, D.C. in a cathedral. I caught some glimpses on the news of the McCain funeral today, and it was in a beautiful cathedral. That's not where Jesus was crucified. It wasn't some beautiful thing with a big, beautiful cross. He died outside the camp for the broken, hurt, lost, people that felt like trash, people that felt like they had nothing to offer, people that weren't worthy to live inside the gates. He died for us. See, Jesus said, there's only one way to the Father. It's through me. I know your college professors, they're going to tell you all kinds of stuff, and it was a 1 in 10 million chance, and the earth came out of a bang, and you came from a monkey, and it takes way more faith to believe in that than it does to believe in the Word of God. Hear this story, true story. It's not pretty. It's kind of like that garbage truck. Chris was a passionate believer. She was a great, great saint. Became a worship leader. Became a music director at a church full time. She was good. Pastor, she was good. Old temptation came back. Started messing with her. She disappointed her husband and 2 children. She talked to a friend, and they prayed, and they had scriptures, and he counseled her, and they tried to help her, and they're working together. But she never felt clean. Though she repented, and though she never felt clean. And see, that is guilt, and that is from the enemy. So you have to decipher, is it guilt or is it conviction? Because guilt reminds you of your past. Conviction draws you to an altar. But weariness gripped her. Things we wish weren't there were there, and they just kept being persistent at her, and they came back. It was that way with Chris. This old temptation kept coming back, and yet again, she messed up. Worse this time. She went to the pastor, told her pastor. Pastor's going to work with her and help her. But Sister Chris, you can't be the music director. You cross so many lines and devastating your family and hurting your husband and hurting your kids again. Pastor's merciful, going to help her, work with her. Work with the husband. They're counseling. They're talking. One day, Chris went to the grocery store. But instead of the grocery store, true story, she went out to a park and took enough sleeping pills to kill herself. Called her husband. One last time, she says, please forgive me. I love you, and hung up. He called 911. They pinged her phone. The next thing Chris remembers vaguely is the cop smashing her window. And then the next thing she remembers is waking up in the hospital with her husband and her pastor. And she woke up and she said, forgive me! Forgive me! The greatest need you have is to be forgiven. Because all these other things will come when you get everything in line. She goes home. Sister Chris goes home. And one day she's sitting in her living room and she's just still devastated. But she heard a garbage truck coming. And it was like an alarm went off in her head. Tears began to flow down her face. She said, I have forgiven because I can take my trash out. I can take my trash out. I don't have to sacrifice an animal. I don't have to only come once a year and bring a goat. I don't have to bring a pigeon. I don't have to bring an animal once a year. But every day, I can boldly approach the throne of grace. See, on Friday, he hung on a cross. So you and I don't have to. Where Adam failed to take out the trash, Jesus did not fail you. Bow your head. God, I'm going to make it easy. Boldly approach the throne of grace. Come on, boldly. Bring that hurt. Bring that pain. Bring that disappointment. Bring that frustration. Bring your mistake. Bring your failure. Bring boldly approach the throne of grace. Because it's not an embarrassment, but this is the system we can pour out our trash. I'm not going home with that hurt. I'm not going home with that disappointment. I'm not going home devastated. The haters have hated me, but I'm not going to let them take me to hell. They've talked about me. They talked about my church. They've talked about my family. They've talked about my dad. They've talked about my holiness standards. They talk about my worship, but they're not taking me to hell with them. You're going home free. You're going home free. You're going home clean. You're going home clean. You're going home forgiven. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every struggle. Lay aside every low self-esteem. Lay aside everything that hinders you. Lay aside that person. Lay aside that person. Who is that person you need to lay aside? You need to block them out of your life.
Amen. I know you're doing it, but why don't you find somebody you can pray with? Everybody praying with somebody. Everybody connecting with somebody. Come on, God's here to help you. God's here to cleanse you. God's here for refreshing. Come on, everybody connecting with somebody. Hallelujah. There's a mighty unction of the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah. God, I give it to you.